Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, September 19th, 2022. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. That's plural, questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right side of our website. And join our campaign for constitutional sheriffs. Okay, we're going to look at tonight's scripture reading. And we're going to pick up where we left off last week. We're in the book of Romans, picking up on chapter 5, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord.
All right, Terry, do we have any questions tonight? I believe Jan's on the road, right?
Yes, and if I... yes, and if I can get the mute switch to work properly, I'll be a lot faster on this. Yes, there's several questions about five, though one of them is very long, and I don't think it's... I can read part of it if you want. But anyway, The first question is, how do you get the help you need? Who contacts you on this matter? That's it.
Right. Well, help they need for what? To start committees of safety? Do they say?
I'm not sure. It's foreclosure help. Excuse me. Oh, the subject okay. Foreclosure help.
Right. Well, I don't know whether we're doing any more joinders at this point, but we'll see in the next couple of weeks. Might be able to do something. There is, I believe. Let me think about this. I think I have something very specific. Oh, yeah, I do have very specific in the book, which is court access in the common law, so they can purchase the book. There is a paper. I don't know. If they become live next week and we know who the person is, that we can maybe pass a paper on to them, maybe we can assist them that way. But I don't know what else to tell them at this point. I guess that's about it. You know, foreclosures, whether it's tax or whether it's mortgage, is unlawful because they're doing what's called non-judicial foreclosures. And the reason why they're doing non-judicial foreclosures is because they can't prove a contract. That poses a problem for them. And, of course, they take it into courts that don't have jurisdiction anyway, but nevertheless, it's still called a non-judicial foreclosure. So the court is just a facade. They just make it look like it's a court. You can argue the case and challenge jurisdiction. That's where I would start. And again, there's a chapter in the book about talking about challenging jurisdiction. And there's also a chapter that talks about mortgages and how to write a paper for that particular problem. But meanwhile, in a couple of weeks, we'll see if we're going to be taking on any other cases. All right, next question.
This is a relatively long one. It says
first. Do the other ones first, and we'll do that one last.
Okay. This one's called progress. What progress on any issue in the past 12 or so years can NLA show? I'm not being negative. I'm sincere. When I was following and on calls and donating, I couldn't get the direction that I needed on a serious issue, so I stopped. I understand that those of you who lead the NLA are true grit, but we have to have something to show for it in LA, I don't know what he's mean there, very existence. So that's it.
All right. Well, look, for more than 14 years, actually, but we've been doing some heavy-duty research for 14 years. Research takes time. Planning and putting things together. We've got 5 courses up here. We've written many books. We've got 10 books out there, maybe 11. 2 major books, Court Access in the Common Law, which helps people to assist them in the courts, understanding how to access the courts and how to make a good defense and challenge jurisdiction, which is the biggest part of that book, in my opinion. We also, Government by Consent, wrote a book for that. That's a major book. 550 pages, 8.5 by 11, so it's a large book. It's a hardcover. And by the way, we only charge them $39.95 for these books, and they're hardcovers and really durable, good books. And, of course, they should be read directly through from beginning to end and to understand or just to get a good framework of what the book is all about. And then after that point, then you use it as a reference book, assist you in writing papers or to work your way through, Government by Consent on the other book. We've written numerous handbooks, under Starter Committee of Safety, for instance. We've got plenty of handbooks and tools. We've done, I don't know, dozens of different videos and PowerPoint videos and PowerPoints. We've written many papers. We've filed over 200 papers into the federal court. We've put approximately 200 to 300 joinders. So we've done a lot of work in the court preparing things. The unfortunate and many, many more things. I mean, we wrote a book on how to create a committee of safety, and that's how you save America. I can't save America. The people can save America. And so the purpose of National Liberty Alliance, what we're doing is our job, which is to facilitate for people to organize, to communicate, and to educate. And a key part of this whole thing is education. And if people just don't have the patience to get educated or the interest of getting educated, then they're not going to be able to assist us in saving this nation. It takes knowledge. As Jefferson said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. So we've done what we can, and we'll continue to do what we can, but it's up to the people to step up and take care of this business. The other thing is, you're not going to save the nation on a tweet. It's not going to happen. You're not going to get educated on a tweet. You're not going to go anywhere on a tweet. I say throw those phones away, because I think it's more destructive than good. You know, these phones, smartphones, if you're in business and doing different, you know, particularly in business, I mean, it could be very good. But people use it for nonsense. They use it to tweet all day long. Everywhere I go, people don't even communicate anymore. I go down the road here to, Dunkin' Donuts, and you walk in there for a cup of coffee, and you got all these people sitting down at tables, and they're not even looking at each other. They're not talking to each other. They're all on their phones. I have no idea. Talking probably to someone not even at the table. And it used to be you go down there and people are having conversations. Not anymore. We allow our children to take these silly phones to school. They're destructive. They injure people. The children are too immature to be using these phones and playing with them, because they injure each other. As a parent, we should not permit them to use these phones these ways. It might be good to give your child a smartphone and, train them how to use it and show them what it could be used for, but not the nonsense that most people have been using it for. Again, nothing but destruction, and creates, really ignorance. As a matter of fact, I'm going to show you how bad it is shortly, how ignorant we the people are, because we focus in on silly, stupid things that mean nothing. It's totally worthless. It doesn't benefit us. It doesn't benefit anyone else. Okay, and I'm talking in general. And after the questions, we're going to take a look at a short video. Actually, the video is about an hour long, but we're only going to watch maybe 5 or 10 minutes of it, and it's going to make the point that I'm talking about right now. So what has National Liberty Alliance done? We've done a tremendous amount of work. We have more than a lifetime worth of learning materials up on our website. We have videos on American history. We have videos on the Constitution. And again, I mentioned we have numerous, I think five or six different courses. And like I said, many, many books. We also set up for organizing across the nation. We have a page. You go to the directory, and you click on a directory. You choose your state. And again, I'll just choose my state, New York. Let's see. Here goes. Choose New York. And here you can find out how many people are involved in creating committees of safety in New York. We have 5 committees of safety in process out of 62 counties. We have 62 counties in New York. So we need more people involved. We do have 670 members in New York. And this is pretty much the case throughout all of the states here. You know, we do have some activity. I can only say at this point, I know, and I mentioned this last week, I haven't had time to go back to look any further, and I haven't had a meeting yet with those who are organizing. But last time I looked, which is a while back, we had 121 committees of safety in process. So that's where we're at. It's up to you to save America. It's up to you to get educated. It's up for you to invest your time in the right place. It's up for you to invest the money into things that you think are going to save this nation. And I'll tell you what, we're coming for really hard times, and devolution is in play. There's going to be a period of time where food is going to be short. A lot of problems are going to take place. And I do think it's going to be a short period of time, but nevertheless, I think we're looking at months in any event, where you're not going to be able to buy a lot of things. Money is going to become worthless, and I've been telling people for quite some time, save coins, because coins are guaranteed face value at its given time. Whether the inflation's up or the inflation's down, that coin value moves up and down doesn't matter what the makeup is of it is. It's a U.S. coin, and so it has value. And I suggest that people buy these coins. I buy the halves, which they look like silver dollars or silver half dollars, and you get some silver dollars in there. As a matter of fact, whenever you buy these boxes, it's $500 for $500 face value coins, and those coins, okay, that is a dollar's worth 2 cents. That's where we're at. We're at 2 cents. It's lost its value. Which makes a box of coins, $500 worth of halves, in a repaired economy. You know, once we reset the economy and bring us back to gold and silver, well, that coin face value has to have its same value in the, at the time that you're spending it. So that box of $500, it will purchase approximately $25,000 worth of product valued at today. So what you would spend $25,000 for today, you'll spend $500 after the devolution and the reset takes place. So again, we try to help people with that. We talk about EMPs. We have a serious problem with EMPs, particularly solar flares. Okay, and solar flares are going to come. We're well overdue solar flares. One missed us about 6 months ago, roughly speaking. There was a major solar flare that missed us by 3 days. The Earth's position was missed by 3 days. If it would have hit the Earth, half the planet might have gone out, at least the side that's facing it. And again, this would be a worldwide thing, so it's not just what's facing it. It also has to some degree around it. I don't know enough of the science on how that works. But we have a big one coming up, and if the one is big or bigger than the Harrington thing, solar flare, which was back in, I think, 1850 somewhere, 1860s, knocked out all the telegraphs throughout the nation, caused havoc all over the planet, and we wouldn't even electronic. As a matter of fact, if that hits us, well, I guess we get rid of all those little phones because they're going to be totally worthless. Unless it's in a Faraday cage or a bag. If you don't have a Faraday bag, you can go out and buy one on Amazon or pretty much anywhere. They're pretty cheap. Put your laptop in one. You can put all of your phones in one or another. And that'll protect it. We will get a warning, a 24-hour warning, roughly 18 to 24 hours, that the solar flare has taken place and it's on its way. It takes almost a day to travel here to the Earth, and we'll know if it's going to hit the Earth or not. But again, we've done everything we can at National Liberty Alliance, and we will be as successful as the people want to be, as successful as the people believe that they can be. But if they think they're going to be ignorant and they want their liberty and they're not interested in learning about their heritage and they're not interested in learning about our founding fathers and common law and understanding our founding documents, if that's not an interest to people and people don't want to get educated in that, then you may not, you cannot, and you shall not have liberty. That's the bottom line. But the only good thing about that, to some degree, is at least a remnant of people will respond if we can get the message out to enough people. So as has been said, I think it was, let me think who said this, I think it was Franklin, I forget, but we don't have government by the majority, but we have government by the majority that participates. And we only need a handful of people in each county in order to save this nation. So hopefully we'll get enough people that'll hear the message, get to respond to this message, become educated, and step up and do their duty, and that is to save this nation. Now, it's going to be saved for us one way or the other through devolution, and we're going to go through some hard times till we get there. But if the people don't step up during that time period or right after that time period and fill the power void that's going to take place, and take control to have government by consent, which can only happen if you're educated, by the way, then if they don't do that, then we're just going to lose it again. It doesn't matter. So the whole thing is for naught. Why don't we just give up? Of course, we're not going to give up here. But hopefully the people will respond. You know, everybody, a lot of people that are responding to some degree really aren't getting involved enough to go out and get a committee of safety going. Okay, you don't need any special knowledge or anything other than, well, you do have to have special knowledge. It's in a book we wrote, which you can find, let's see, let me go back to the page we were just on, right here. Committee, let's see, the COS Organizing Handbook, right there. This book here, step by step, show you how to create a committee of safety. And we've had some successes in the courts. We haven't had a lot, but we've had some habeas corpuses that were successful. We've had a few other types of cases that were successful. But most of them weren't, because we're up against evil. But the whole thing, you know, all of the work that we've done in the courts was done for a purpose, to bring us to a certain point, because all of that work, all of those papers that we filed, all of those cases that we've assisted people with and joined to our cases, we've got affidavits from them, all of that stuff, that's our evidence. And we have a United States Supreme Court that is now willing to stand on the Constitution. And it's only a matter of time now. We are working on the paperwork right now, so hopefully in the next month or two or so, we'll be prepared to file the papers that really is going to bring us back under the Constitution. We're going after a lot of things. The judiciary, federal judiciary, has fallen away quite some time ago. We want to bring that back under the law. We want to open our courts of law back up again. They're called courts of record, not only on a federal level, but at the state level. We start at the federal level, and then the federal level can require the state level to follow suit. So all that takes time. And we've been working at this now for 14 years. I believe that's how long ago it was we started. Let me think about this, 8 to 9. Yeah, it's about 13, 14 years now when we started National Liberty Alliance. So we've accomplished a lot. But if people aren't paying attention, and they're not studying, and they're not reading, and they're not looking, and they're not learning, and they're not participating, and they're not building committees of safety on a grassroots level, then it looks like we've done nothing. They wouldn't know what we've done, because, you know, maybe they're too busy texting, tweeting. Let's stop wasting our time, and let's do something. Let's save this nation. Next question.
Do you have NYS federal case law that shows that a civil case in state court can be removed to a federal court when the defendant has been abused by the court? Thank you.
Well, a case can be brought into the federal court for cause, C-A-U-S-E. And cause has to be a constitutional issue, violation of your right of due process. Opening up a court of, when you try to open up a court of record, or you're drawn into a court and they hijack you into jurisdictions unknown, when they don't follow the law, and that's constant. These courts, and look at a civil case is not a lawful case per se. You know, we don't have, well, we do. They have changed this over to civil law. But that's null and void, because it's repugnant to our Constitution. And what gave the United States Supreme Court, what gave Congress the power and the authority to give away some of its legislative power in 1934, Rules Enabling Act. So in 1934, the United States, the Congress, gave the authority for the United States Supreme Court to write their own rules. Well, that's legislation. So it's unlawful to begin with. We didn't give them the power to give to someone else, just like they did with the Federal Reserve. They gave the authority to a private bank to print our money. And you know, that's just been nothing but a mess. But anyway, And that was steered, Congress was steered by the Bar Association, which is anti-constitutional, they're communists, generally speaking. I guess you can call them a lot of other names, but communism seems to fit pretty good. The Bar Association steered our legislators in order to create that those papers, which is for Rules Enabling Act, which was probably written many, many years before. It's all part of that plan, all built upon the Organic Act of 1871. I mean, everything else, all the stuff we see that's been added onto this has probably been written a long time ago and updated as time goes on to put it into place as they pass one unlawful legislation and another. And then the United States Supreme Court, 8 of the 9, one of the justices resigned. I would presume he resigned because he was not going along with this. So it was unanimous with 8. They got their Rules Enabling Act, claimed to have been written after all the power and the authority was given to the United States Supreme Court, not really, but they said so, to do this writing. But do you really think that the United States Supreme Court wrote it? Absolutely not. That was written by the Bar Association, the elitist of the bar, ultimately. And again, the whole thing is destructive. And what was the first act they did? They claimed to have combined equity and law, which is oil and water. Okay, they combined it, brought it together, and they call it civil law. We're under Roman law. And you ask almost any lawyer, most lawyers will tell you we're under Roman law, Roman civil law. I mean, nothing could be further from the truth. We're under the law, common law. But nevertheless, they brought it together. They call it civil law. And that has nothing to do with the Constitution, nothing to do with we as a people. And how did they get away with this? Because we the people are ignorant. That's how they got away with this. I just saw something, I think it was yesterday or today, someone sent me a video, and it was some law enforcement, I'm not even sure if it was a sheriff or who, or what level it was, but they were given orders that certain things they're not to arrest people on, or if they get arrested, the courts are commanded not to to put up any kind of a requirement of bail, and they should be released right away. Something's coming up. Something's coming up. And again, how are they getting away with all this craziness? How are they getting away with all these riots in the streets that we saw, what was it, back in 2020, or 2021, shall I say? How did they get away with that, burning down parts of Washington, D.C., and many, many other cities, as the police do nothing? How do they get away with that? Because of ignorance. Even the police, the cops, the sheriffs, they don't even know that these things are null and void because it's repugnant to the Constitution. It's repugnant to the law. And they don't have to obey an unlawful command, but they do because that's how ignorant we are. They have the power to nullify, just like the jury has a power to nullify. The people have the power to say, no, we don't like that law. Get it out of here and throw it out of the courts. But the judge will tell you, oh, you know, I'll decide the law. You'll decide the facts. I'll tell you what the law is. And the people go along with that. Why? Because they're ignorant. I guess they're spending too much time on that silly phone. I don't have a smartphone. And if I was still in business, doing contracting, I might have one because it'd be good for contracting, as it would be for good for any kind of a business. But for people to play with it, I think it's a problem. But anyway, getting back to this, the problem is our ignorance. If we don't know the law, you can't have liberty. It's not possible, not even possible, because look what they're doing, and nobody knows. They raided the president's house, Trump, and if the sheriff was knowledgeable and he showed up on the scene, he could have stopped the whole thing. He had the power and the authority to stop the whole thing. He could have prevented the abuse. He could have saw that the paper was invalid on his face. he could have saw that there was no, it was no supporting deposition, no supporting affidavit, at least not with it. I mean, they claim to have had one and they show one, but hey, you know, we need to see it. But nevertheless, it was repugnant. The whole thing was dead, and the sheriff could have sent them back to Washington, but he didn't. Why? Because he's ignorant. That's the problem. We deserve what we've got because we spend too much time doing silly things instead of doing the things we have to do. We can still enjoy life, but stop wasting our time. Let's get down to take care of business and have government by consent. Let's have liberty. Let's save this republic for our children, for our posterity. All right, next question. Still with us here, Terry?
Yeah, just the mute button, unless I'm exactly on it.
Moving on, right?
Yeah, okay, this one takes a little while longer, too, because it's also very big. Hi, NLA staff. Could you please see that John sees this email? I am embarking on a challenge to the state here in North Carolina, starting with my claim to private ownership of my acre of land and home. I sent a certified letter to the tax assessor informing him that I own my property. I am not a ward of the state and not enfranchised. I presumed that the tax collector would ignore the letter, so I intend to follow up with this affidavit. He has the affidavit below. I further presume that the tax office would ignore my address of grievance and then would put a lien on my land and house, so I am preparing these documents to defend their claim. Makes no sense. Can you give me any advice on my method and any peripheral consequences? Your attention to my efforts would be greatly appreciated.
Well,
there you go.
A couple of things, you know. Again, if you don't know that devolution is in play, then that's a problem because you need to know that. Then you got to ask yourself the question: do I want to spend my time trying to take my property back as far as making it private and getting off the tax rolls? Do I want to spend my time doing that and probably will fail? It'll take a long time to get through. Or should I spend my time trying to save the nation and spending time educating myself? Because once devolution plays out, and it'll play out pretty quickly, you know, a couple of months, maybe 6 months, it's not going to go that long, I don't believe. There's going to be a lot of pain for many months because there's not going to be a lot of food shortages, a lot of gas shortage, everything, shortage everywhere. So that's going to be problematic. But other than that, once we get to the other side of devolution, then that's all that's going to go away with. The Federal Reserve is gone, okay? Tax on land. It's a direct tax. It's unconstitutional. It can't stand. Trump knows that. Anybody who knows the Constitution knows that. And we're going to be in the courts, and in case they forgot about it, we will remind them of it. So all that's going to go away. But we do have, anyway, we do have some information on our website. I was looking for it, and maybe it's under today's issues. No, I don't think it is. All right, I'll think about it. If I can think about where it's at as the evening goes on, I'll make a note of it and let people know. But we do have a page which we posted a book. I know Gerard was going to read through the book and give some comments on it, at least to me, and to fill me in on a lot of what it has to say. But it seems to be a good process on changing your property over to unalloyable title. Okay, so the book explains a lot of how things are working and how things should work, and then gives a process or a procedure to make that change. So if people want to do that, they can do that. But again, even just going into the town and requiring them, pressing them forward to change your property over to private property, once it's in private property, it's out of the tax rolls because it's no longer residential, which is under tax, nor is it under commercial, which is under tax. So that's a way to get out, but that's an uphill battle. But it could be accomplished. And again, you'd have to take it into the court system once they deny you. You have to pull bonds. I mean, there's a lot of things going on. Again, all this requires an education, okay, how to go into the courts, how to pull a bond. And we've got information on the website for that. We also have information in our books. And again, people have to get educated. So it's not per se a simple thing. It may appear to be simple, but you're up against an unjust system. And once you get into the courts, you'll find out how unjust it really is. And then it takes a lot of school of hard knocks, a lot of hard knocks to really, you know, hit and miss, until you figure out the proper mindset, figure out how to put these people under pressure that are destroying our judicial system, how to win. It's tough, but again, it gets back to education. So, all right, next.
Okay, it's the one big one that we skipped before. It says, first, some background. Recently went to the Supreme Court in Nassau County to appear for a hearing regarding a foreclosure action. One, at the day and time the hearing was scheduled, the courtroom was empty and locked. After about 40 minutes, I was told I could use a phone at the security desk and contact the judge's chambers directly by dialing his extension. I then met with the court clerk, who informed me there are thousands of foreclosure actions pending, and they do not do appearance hearings, that everything is done by submittals. Question, is the admission on its own enough to ask for a dismissal? The notarized paperwork says hearing at this date and time. I felt like I was duped into a setup. And then I can read the second question when you're done.
Well, it's non-judicial foreclosure. That's why they're not having any appearances. The judge is never going to put his name onto the thing. It's just going to appear. It's a facade. It appears as if it's going to the judicial system. It appears that they won. And unfortunately, people give up real quick and leave their homes, and then they can flip it all over. In about a year, they can then take total control over the home because it's abandoned, really, is how they do it at that point. And there's a process of paperwork. Now, those people who do fight and argue try to go to the hearings if there are any and challenge them and just go through the whole process. And again, another school of hard knocks. There are some people who've got a lot of experience in this, and they can give us a lot of information on a lot of steps that they can bypass and go straight to the other. And I'll tell you right now, it's pretty simple from my perspective. Jurisdiction is the key. Challenge jurisdiction. And also go after their bonds. Give them a quo warranto. We spoke about a quo warranto a couple of weeks ago. Dig up our case a couple of weeks ago that we put up, as a matter of fact. Let me go to the weekly call here. On a weekly call, we have a page where you can go and watch the videos. We don't put every Monday nights up on the video. Every Monday night is up here on the audio, though. Okay. But for the video recordings, you can click on the video recordings right here. And then last week we spoke about the sovereign citizen movement. It's not necessarily one week after another. It could have been. But we spoke about oaths and bonds. You should be listening to that. We did a classical education, the Convention of States. We spoke about that, the original tent of our Constitution. Jefferson, stop calling us a democracy, interviewing candidates. We the people are sovereign. ABA, the American Bar Association, must be banned for treason. I mean, you know, again, if you're coming to the Monday night program, you should be getting something out of it. If you're up on the website going through our educational list, you should be getting a lot out of it. If you're going through our today's issues pages, you'll find a lot of information on health and what's going on devolution, the New World Order. I mean, there's so much information. You go to our directory to make connections to people. You go to start a committee of safety to actually get committees of safety going. And then, of course, our welcome page, which has a lot of information, too. Again, we have tremendous amounts of information. And I say start here. Your education starts here. That's where you start. Click on that button. And just follow along at that point, you know, the breadcrumb trail. This will lead you right through a process, okay? All right, next, is there any other questions?
Oh, yeah, there's two more from the same person.
Well, go ahead, let's try them.
Where do I find information to research bonds for the judge and court officers if they exist?
Okay, that should be, well, I believe the bonding information is down here underneath Start a Committee of Safety, because we put this information there for the Committee of Safety. We have Bond for the Wins. Bonds for the Wins. This is a group of people who hold your hand and walk you through the process. So anybody who's undereducated and incapable of doing it themselves and writing the papers and understanding the communications in the court system, well, then follow their system. Okay, I use the court system. It depends on what's going on. Because if you ask someone for their bond, they're not going to give it to you. You're going to have to pull them into court to make them give it to you. But there is a process, and these people have a process, and you can go through that, and they'll help you out. So right here on that page, I guess it would be the best place for them to go. Bonds for the Wins. Now, there is another one here. Like I said, we put a book up here. I'm just not sure where we put it. I don't remember. Okay, if I pick up on it, I'll let you know. Next question.
If I decide to countersue the bank like the judge were to rule in favor of the bank after reviewing my response to this claim, I am fairly certain the chain of title transfer from bank to bank over the 30-plus years I have read this mortgage.
What do they want to sue the bank for? The bank has no skin in the game. They don't hold your mortgage. They just collect the money. You think that they hold the mortgage. They're the ones who do the foreclosures. That's why they have to go through a non-judicial foreclosure, because the bank doesn't own those papers. It doesn't hold that mortgage. They didn't put no money up. Matter of fact, they were paid to set that loan. The money came out of the Fed window. And all they did was make the connection. That's all they did. Okay, and then they give you these little books, and you got to pay every month, and they're making out like a fat rat.
Income stream for him. His actual question was, at what point should I file to countersue the bank, before the judge makes his ruling or immediately after?
But why would you sue the bank? I don't understand. I mean, well, okay, if the bank is trying to foreclose, basically you'd want to do it. First of all, I'd go through a jurisdiction challenge. That's the first order of business. Jurisdictional challenge. They don't have it. Second of all, then you'd want to make the case. Well, show me the contract. Where's the contract? What skin in the game do you have that you hold my mortgage? What did you give me? What, did you put money up? They didn't put money up. They got a point or two, whatever they got off of the Fed window, after Fed window, when they got the money, which is just, again, just numbers changing in one from bank to another. That's all that is anyway. No real money really changes hands anyway. But in any event, it's not that simple. You need to get educated in it. You need to follow along with the whole process of its illegality. We wrote a paper on this showing you that it's a fraud, and that's what we send to the banks. It's a fraud. Non-judicial foreclosures is unlawful. What is it, a non-judicial foreclosure? That means taking your property without judicial process. That's what that means. There's your argument right there. Some states have non-judicial foreclosures written up into their legislation, okay? And some states don't even write it up. But nevertheless, they both use the same process, because there's no contract. There's no agreement. You don't owe the bank anything. So that's where you have to start. It's a mindset, and there's a lot of things you got to go through. Again, get the book, Court Access and the Common Law. A lot of it will be answered in there. Okay, next.
That's it for now. That's all the ones that came in before the recording started.
Okay, we're going to go to open forum very, very shortly. I do want to play a short video. It's, like I said, it's about an hour long, but I'm not playing the hour. I got so sick to my stomach, I couldn't even listen much more than 15 minutes. I just had to shut it off. That's how sick I got from this video. But this is the problem we have today. This is the problem. And let me get to it and click on this. Let me see. Uh, Oh goodness, where did I put that? Oh, here it is. Public schools are nurturing morons. Like I said, I'm going to play about 5 or 10 minutes of this, and then you know, I just have a few things to say about it. Then we're going to go to open forum. By the way, that voice is coming through, that sound, right, Terry?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
Mary and Joseph.
Very good. And approximately how many years ago did he live?
Oh, gosh. 250 million years ago.
250 million years ago.
What animal is that?
Tiger.
Tiger. Yeah. Okay.
A rhino. Kangaroo.
Kangaroo? What is that?
Long neck.
Zebra. No, no, no. I know what it is, but I can't think of it right now.
They get mighty tough, these questions. What is it?
Gaylord?
Gaylord?
Oh. The Bill of Rights. That's the right to... I'm not even going to say it. I'm going to look stupid. The right to a fair and speedy trial?
You must have been in court recently.
Yeah, exactly. I've experienced with that one.
Can you name any country on the map?
Honestly, my geography is so horrible. I can't name anything. Like,
try
nothing.
Something.
Is it South Africa?
Nope.
Oh, yeah, the country of Asia?
Nope. That's a continent. Oh, that's oops. Russia.
Oh, damn. I'm silly.
That's okay.
Man, it's been a while since I've been in school.
That's okay. Any country on the map?
Africa.
That's a continent.
Country. Damn.
How about a country in Africa?
I know South Africa is over here somewhere.
No, it's
down here, yeah.
Yeah, south.
You name a country that borders the United States.
A country?
Mm-hmm.
What college did you say you go to?
I go to Saddleback.
Saddleback College. Okay.
Are you stupid?
Yes. Yes, I am.
How many stars are on the flag?
Like 20-something.
20-something?
What animal is the king of the jungle?
It's said to be the lion.
It's said to be, or what do you think?
Well, it's said to be the lion.
You don't think it is?
I've got questions about it.
Yeah, who'd you make this thing? Who would you think?
An eagle.
The eagle? Well, lions are pretty tough, aren't they?
Not really. Now they're attacked by a group of eagles.
Not by attacked by a group of eagles.
That's right.
Sir, have you ever seen a group of eagles attack a lion?
How many U.S. senators are there?
Too many.
Too many?
Wait, there's like 52, isn't there?
52. Why do we have 52?
Because there's 52 states.
Because there's 52 states.
A history major?
I am.
Okay. When was the Declaration of Independence signed?
Declaration of Independence? 1773?
76. When did World War II end?
52?
45. Sorry. You're a history major?
I am.
How many senators are there?
One.
One. Just one senator.
12.
12? No.
Two.
No, it's 100.
100. Of course.
Can you name a country that borders the United States?
Europe. I thought this was supposed to be fun.
What president is on the $20 bill?
The $20 bill? George Washington?
No.
Oh my God.
The Jackson.
Jesse Jackson.
Jesse Jackson.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Can you open that can of tuna fish?
Okay, I will try. It's been a while.
What is your favorite of the First Amendment?
The right to bear arms.
Okay, which amendment is that?
I don't know.
Who is the first president?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I'm supposed to know.
I open one of these in a minute. Oh.
That's right. I always have problems with those stuff. Like, I don't know how to open those.
Hi, what's your name? Where are you from?
Hannah Church. I'm from Michigan.
Hannah, what states are these?
Hawaii.
Yes.
Indiana?
No.
I don't know.
Close.
Idaho?
Yes.
Missouri?
No.
Mississippi?
Yes.
Cool. Minnesota?
Where'd you say you were from?
Michigan. Oh, duh. Michigan.
I can't open it.
Okay, so what happened here?
Oh, it came off there.
Well, you opened the can opener. Here you go. Try this. Try not to break that one. It's our last can opener.
I can't do it.
Did you break the other can opener?
Oh, let me try this. I'll use this.
No, I love everyone.
What year did World War II end?
1953. 1945. 1956.
Are you doing this to prove, like, that millennials, like, can or can't open them because the, like, company said that, you know, the reason they don't sell tuna anymore is because we can't do it? Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much your whole premise of the entire thing.
I think I'm getting it.
Yeah, you're definitely proving them wrong. Wonderful. Nailed it.
Nailed it, yeah.
Look at that.
What is our galaxy called? Galaxy 500.
Can you name a country on this map?
Oh, that's Africa?
Nope.
Russia?
Nope, that's China. Anything over here?
Alright, so basically Europe.
Where is Europe?
No.
And you guys are graduating high school this week?
No, it's June 16th.
June 16th, so you should know a lot of stuff.
Well, we know a lot.
What is our galaxy called?
I am...
It's also a candy bar.
Mars.
Bill, psychiatrist.
P-S-Y-C-H-I-A-T-R-I-S-T.
And hey now, somebody know how to spell.
P-S-Y... C-H-O-L-O-D-I-S-T.
Minnesota? No.
Nope.
Missouri.
Try again.
Missouri? No, not Missouri. Michigan? No, not Michigan.
Miami? No, that's not a state.
What is the religion of Muslims?
Judaism?
No, that I do not know.
The Arabic?
The Quran?
Muslimism?
It's Islam.
Correct.
How many oceans are there?
Oceans?
Yeah.
I've only been to one.
You've been to one?
I've been to one.
Which one were you at?
Florida.
Which one?
Ocean.
Which ocean did you go to in Florida?
Pacific Ocean.
You went to the Pacific Ocean
in
Florida. How was it?
It was good.
Yeah. What is the largest country in South America?
In South America? Africa?
If you're running in a race and you pass the person in second place, what place are you in?
I know everybody said first, but I'm not going to be dumb and say first.
First. Can you name a country on this map?
Asia or Africa?
That's a continent.
Oh, okay.
Can you name a country in Africa?
No.
Can you name a country on this map?
Mexico.
No, I'm sorry, that's wrong.
I don't remember.
Okay. Let me give you a hint. It's the name of a candy bar.
Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth. Yes, it's the Babe Ruth galaxy. Very good. How many planets in our solar system?
It's like, 12 to 50? I don't know.
12 to 50?
Yeah,
put a ring.
I'm not even sure. Mm-hmm.
How many planets in our solar system?
Well, let's say 100. I don't know. 100? I have no idea.
Did I hear you just graduated college?
I did, but I didn't study astronomy.
How many planets are there?
Oh.
In our solar system?
Oh. I want to say 12.
How do you say no in German?
Da.
Da.
I know German.
No, nine.
Nine? Oh, I was close.
How many planets are there?
Nine.
All right, what's your name?
Eugene.
Eugene, you're from Chicago.
Chicago, the Bulls.
That's right, which is in Chicago.
Yeah.
Which constellation is the Bull?
You got me.
There's a car named after it, the Ford.
Oh, the Mustang.
Can you name any country on this map?
Yeah. Africa?
The continent.
Oh, God.
Can you name any country in Africa?
God. No, no, something bad.
Can you name any country on this map?
Yes.
Okay, I guess that's made me sick enough. That's how bad it is. So, anyway, we have a problem. As a matter of fact, you know, I spoke about this a while back. By the way, am I coming through okay, Terry, since I shut the audio off on that video?
Yeah, you're sounding fine, John.
Okay. A while back, I spoke about getting together a curriculum for our children in schools, and it's going to be up to the committees of safety to enforce that through the committees of education within their counties to visit the schools and to require a proper education for our children, because right now our schools are producing nothing but morons. And that's a sad statement, but it's true. We have a problem. People. No one could even mention the United States. They couldn't even see the United States on that map, you know. So it's really pretty bad. But so anyway, just recently I made some calls, talked with a few people. I spoke with Brent, who wrote some books, and I spoke with him a while back also about working with us to create a curriculum for our children in school, and he agrees to do that. So I put this page together. And we're looking for volunteers, especially people with a background in education, as far as an educator is concerned. But, you know, someone who can use their brain at least. And we want to turn certain books into textbooks. I spoke with NCCS. I spoke with an individual there. And they're interested in seeing what we can come up with and will assist to turn some of their books into textbooks because their books are very good. So that's nccs.net. Matter of fact, let me throw that up on the page here. nccs.net, I believe it is. Okay. So that's the National Center for Constitutional Studies, okay? And they got a lot of great books here. I've got most of their books. The 5,000-year leap, which is probably written, I would say, at a fourth grade level. Okay, so that's a good book to take, and they've already turned that into a textbook. So they have the 5,000-year leap, which I had bought that book, but they also have a 5,000-year leap textbook, and with that textbook, it's created for the school, so it already is a textbook for school. They also have The Making of America. It's another book that I have. It's a hardcover, and it's a textbook, and they created also a textbook for school. So they have two books particularly, and they got some coloring books for younger children, kindergarten, first grade, which will help to teach the children something about America. And what I want to do is I started to make a list of certain things. And here's the list. The basis are as follows as far as creating a curriculum. On this page where we just saw a video, you can click on that. It's an eighth grade test given back in 1895. Okay. And that's a college level at this point, this eighth grade test. People should take a look at that and see if you can pass that. So anyway, just to see how bad it is, we need to really teach our children and bring them up. Of course, we need the basic reading, writing, grammar, orthography, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, and penmanship. They don't even work on penmanship no more. I don't even know if they write anything. They type everything. I see kids can't even tell time on a regular clock. Unless they see the digits, they don't know what the time is. As a matter of fact, this video does cover some of that, where the people I asked if they could read a clock, and they can't even read the clock. They can't read a map. They can't locate the United States. They don't know that Canada or Mexico is a country that borders us. I mean, that's a pretty sad situation. But anyway, getting back, you know, mathematics, algebra, number theory, geometry, and arithmetic, world history, of course. You know, we're not going to create, there's a lot of stuff out there that's already created for, you know, these subjects that we don't have to really put time into. But it's the science of American jurisprudence and the history of the same. That's what we have to work at. And so, as I mentioned, these two coloring books for the lower grades, 5,000-Year Leap, The Making of America. Now, these three books here, I mentioned to this individual I was talking with at the NCCS, who is has the ability to make these decisions on the curriculum or whatever they would put into their cell on their site and you know, back up and support. But they are very interested in working with us to create an education out of these three books particularly, The Real Thomas Jefferson, The Real George Washington, and The Real Benjamin Franklin. Like I said, I have these books, and we need to go chapter by chapter and create questions, and then submit it to them, and they'll put it together in a package. If, of course, they're going to want to agree to whatever we put together, so we have to put together something good. So we do need people to help us do this. The history of common law, okay, and the Constitution, Brent is going to work on that. Israel, the first common law nation, and New Israel, that's a study that needs to have our children. We are a Christian nation. We are founded under the same principles that Israel was founded under. The United States is considered the New Israel. The Incarnation, after all, it's the King of the Court. The Federalist Papers, I started working on that already today, so I'm going to do the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers. And the Bill of Rights, maybe Brent will do that one. And Government by Consent, I'm going to take a lot of different subjects out of the book, Government by Consent, put it in a different order, and put it together as a textbook for school. Also, court access book, the same thing. Children should know how to have access into the courts. They should know the Federalist Papers, which interprets the Constitution. Okay? And so anybody who is interested, you know, of course, I just listed some other different subjects that should be, of course, part of their curriculum, the natural sciences and computer science. And I put a note down here, and it's up to the people to push this through if they agree. And maybe some people won't agree. Sorry to hear that, but I think most people will agree that there are problems in school. We have to train up our children on how they can walk so that when they get older, they won't depart from that. That's a promise from God. But each day should start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I don't even know if they say the Pledge of Allegiance anymore. There should be a computer class, but all other subjects should be taught out of a textbook. They should need to hold a book, feel a book, read a book, know how to get around a book. They should be able to read maps. They should be able to look at a clock and tell time. The students should not have a phone in school. That should be banned. You know, they're so destructive. You know, children, especially at adolescence, you know, but even the younger ones, they injure each other, and they're not thinking. And it's a waste of time, and it dumbs them down, and it gets them to tweet, and they don't look at anything bigger than a tweet. It's a problem. Okay, students should not have phones in a school, and there should be a dress code. Okay, and these are some of the thoughts that I put together, and I'm sure other people have some other thoughts. Maybe we can expand more in these issues or add some new issues, but make some points. And then it's up to the people in the county to come together as a committee of safety, discuss certain things, pass it over to the committee of education, the education committee, who will then go out and visit schools to require curriculums, to certain curriculums be put into the schools. Because right now we have a serious problem. And we've lost America, and I speak to myself first, because of us. We destroyed America through a lack of knowledge. My people perish for a lack of knowledge, and of course that's focusing in on the knowledge of God, but that also rolls over to common law and who we are as a people, as New Israel. But we're going to perish for a lack of knowledge. We're going to lose our liberty because of the lack of knowledge. They walk all over us because of a lack of knowledge. And so we need to do something about it. Okay, with that, I guess we'll go over to open forum. We'll spend the rest of the evening on an open forum. I see Gerard is here. You want to take the controls, and I'll sit here with you, and we'll answer some questions, Gerard?
Can you hear me? I've been having some trouble. Okay.
I can hear you.
Okay. Okay. Good.
All right. I know we got some people in the queue. Anybody wants to get into the queue? If you're coming in on a phone, it's a *6. If you're using an app, there should be a button to press to get into the queue. Let's see. Make sure you don't hit the wrong. I keep going to the top to hit the buttons. Be careful. It's on the bottom to go back and forth from Q&A and the attendees.
Right.
The top will either hit the next question or end it.
Right. So did you do all the questions already? So we could just start
Yeah, everything's done. We're just going to move now to open forum. So we'll take our first person. Looks like David's first on the list.
Yeah. So we'll open David up and take his question.
I was just wondering, when do you think a group could get together in the New York City area, John, in maybe Manhattan or Queens, for you know, just to meet each other and to gather and to
what we need to do. I was thinking of trying to get together something. It's getting late in the summer here. You know, well, the summer's just about over, so we're getting into the fall here, and I don't know what the weather would be like. I know a couple of years back we did a big thing up in a little north of me. I forget where it was that we did it, but it was a nice park. We had a cookout there. We had lots of food, a nice pavilion. We had speakers and we had music. But I'd like to do something big like that and make it a seminar, you know, 4 hours. Actually, 4 hours altogether maybe, but a couple hours and then a couple hours of talking. But I'm going to go down to New York City, and I would be interested in going down to New York City and to do a seminar down there. It would have to be on a Saturday. I would prefer noontime, maybe noon to 4. The seminar would run for 4 hours, but it would be 2 hours really of instruction. You know, we'd do PowerPoints and a couple of videos and so on, and some questions here and there, and then end it off with a couple hours of questions, communications, conversation. Someone has to organize it. They have to find a place down there. We should invite, last time we went down to Manhattan to do something like this, we had a couple of times we went down there, had some pretty big response, and people from all the boroughs came in. So we'd want to do that again. We'd want to come down, and the focus would be to get committees of safety started in each one of the 5 boroughs down there. The boroughs down there are counties, so 5 counties, if you want to call them counties. So we need someone to organize it. So someone has to contact different groups. There has to be an organizer and make a plan.
All right. Thank you, John.
And I'll come down. Just let me know the date, and we'll work it out. So.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
John, this is Barry. How you doing, man?
Good.
I was wondering if you ever got to go to that church, to that woman Allison, that contact there, upstate
New York? Yeah, I remember. No, we never went back. I know we tried to make contact. We did get a number or something, and I forget what happened. We didn't get the number or something. What happened there, Gerard? Do you remember? You know what he's talking about, right, Gerard?
Yeah, there was a church up there by, I forget the name of the town. Was it at Wappinger Falls? Wappinger Falls, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was actually in Wappinger Falls. It was just below Poughkeepsie here, and it was all, yeah, we missed the big opportunity. We don't have contact with that person. We should try to visit down there and see if we can find her.
Exactly. It might be worth going over there, find out when they have a service on, or maybe even talk to the pastor or so.
Yeah.
And find that girl, because I think that was an incredible. I think she was an incredible contact.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I know her husband was involved in doing something on the same lines with the Constitution, or you know, trying to educate people on
right.
What was going on.
Yeah, that was a nice event they had. You know, too bad we didn't get there earlier and, you know, and get up there to speak our piece, to bring our message. It would have been quite beneficial, but just didn't happen.
I think I know, listen, there's a place in Manhattan, and I used to go to LaRouche.org. There were LaRouche meetings, and these guys were saying the same thing. They're big on the Constitution, and that was their main thrust, and they were really against Obama at the time. But they used to hold meetings downtown Manhattan, and they used to hold their meetings in the YMCA in Manhattan, downtown.
Oh, that'd be a great place. That'd be pretty big.
I don't even think that they charge them.
Oh, no, it's free. Those places offer these things for free. Just like a library. You go into a library, you can, you know, use libraries. Libraries are a great place to have meetings. And even town halls. Town halls, as long as there's nobody else booked up for a time that you want, whether it be in an evening or a day, or during the day on a Saturday or something, they have to open their doors to us and give it to us. And it's done it already. I've also been thrown out of one, too.
Yeah, maybe me and Kevin will go down and we'll find out what the scoop is on that. Because I know they probably still have those LaRouche.org meetings down there. I'm not trying to advertise.
We make a connection with them, introduce us to them, and let them go out and take a look at our website, see some of the things we're doing, and they can get a hold. You know what? Take a PDF copy of the handbook, County Committee of Safety Organizing Handbook, and you know, give them a copy and give them some information, the website, and see if you can't hook something up. And you know, as far as planning a date, you know, you'll have to call me before we set the date to make sure I'm free and we can do something.
Sure will. I'll do that probably within the next week or so.
That'd be great.
I'll go down there and check out the info on it. All right?
Thank you.
All right, good talking to you.
Same.
Have a good night.
You too. All right, Gerard, next caller. Okay.
Let's see here. We got...
You know the church he was talking about, you remember?
What's
that? Gerard?
Yeah?
Like the
Lance. Are you not hearing me?
I can hear you, but you're coming in a little low.
Oh, what's the matter with this thing? What'd you say? Do I know the church he was talking about?
Right. Do you remember when we had that meeting down here in Hyde Park and in the gun club, and then we went to something in a church down in Route 9 there?
Yeah.
And we met that woman, but we lost contact. We didn't get her phone number.
Yeah. That was a while ago, John. That was a long time ago.
I should go down and pay a visit to see if I don't know if I'd recognize her or not, though.
Allison's name.
So
Allison. I'll make a note of that.
Allison, yeah.
Allison, yeah. All right. Take our next call.
Andromedia is next. Go ahead, Andromedia. Robbie.
How you doing, Andromedia?
Hey, John. A couple of things. You need to know, number one, I've gotten a lot of... either harassings or threats or literally being cursed out, okay, by many of the people I've contacted on the list that you had Jan sent to me of the list of members of Broward and Harris County that I requested to invite them to the Committee of Safety meetings.
Right.
It's horrendous. The demonic spirits and the attitudes that they have, you know, even issuing threats, you know, talking about such as frivolous things such as it should be against the law.
Just remember that one bad apple doesn't spoil the whole lot, you know, the whole bunch.
No, it's several of them. You know.
We have people who forgot they even joined us. You know, they don't even remember.
Yeah, they see that. Again, and I told them, if you want to remain so private, then you need to remove your name and number from there, even threatening to call the police and that kind of thing. That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
We don't want to really focus too much on those stories. We know there's bad apples. Hold on. Let me take an opportunity here. Whenever an organization is starting to build and is starting to get momentum, and we've got over 10,000 members, it's 10,200 and something, whatever, and you know, it draws sociopaths, and we've had our fill of that. Okay, we had to cut away. We've spoken about this in the past numerous times. I think a couple of weeks ago we spoke about this again. We had to do disclaimers, and people who've taken people and actually got them in trouble. Some of them went to jail, and we have one person who died in jail because they did stupid things. But you'll have these people. It's going to happen. And the percentages, I think, are higher than we realize. But anyway, let's focus in on the good people.
They gave out their numbers and whining, as you know, about privacy and who got their number. And
I don't want to waste the time too much talking about it. We know we got bad apples. We know we have people that you know, aren't paying attention, and they even forget that they signed up. We know we got people who are sociopaths or psychopaths, and with over 10,000 members, we got to have some, you know.
So we're like the Marines. We're just looking for a few good men.
That's all. Yeah.
Boy, you ought to hear the language from those Marines. You know, you should hear the profanity. When I sent out a formal invitation, I write very well. Okay, it was a professionally written. I don't want to repeat the profanity that was used. They told me to take it and all that kind of thing, and
let's get to a productive conversation now. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Nexus. Last week I heard y'all mentioned about COS and only one in Texas. Now you forgot. A couple months ago, I mentioned that I wanted to be signed up, and I'm currently dealing with two different counties and two different states, and you have me sign up because I can't sign up myself for just one county where I'm assisting someone that's already signed up for Broward. But me and him are in communication, and
you can only choose one county, I think, and what happens is, you know, you can help plenty of counties. I mean, look at Gerard and I, we've been involved with lots of, when we're doing the Tea Parties and stuff for the Ron Paul movements, we're going to numerous different places and talking and working and learning. As a matter of fact, that when you have your county meeting, you want to invite people from all over the place. And so you have other people coming in, and then you work together with them to assist them, and they assist you, and you get things going. You know?
Well, just letting you know that, remember, I'm recently here from Florida, and I'm in Harris County, Texas. So I started one in Harris County, but I'm assisting David Marconi in Broward County because I'm recently from there. That's where all my cases are. You know, so that's why I'm working both. My cases are in Broward County. You know, because I'm recently, I left Florida when I got married, and I moved to Texas, and in Houston and Harris now. So that's why I'm working both. Plus, I've dealt with other cases before I even got to NLA in Harris County. That's why I took an interest in both. So that's why I said I was doing both at the same time.
All right. Well, yeah, you should. You look at When I do mine, I'm going to invite everybody in New York. I mean, most people aren't going to travel from long distance, but they might, and they have, as a matter of fact. We've had people, you know, travel quite a distance. I mean, Gerard and I, we've been all throughout this whole state here, and it takes 4 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other, maybe even 5 hours, go down to New York City.
I'm the other person in Texas, even though you have listed maybe one. But I'm also here now, dealing with this myself, and started, you know.
Well, anybody that's a good organizer, especially once you get one your own going, you know, then you can work we expect, because we have found in the past that people, when we're visiting every county in America throughout the United States, we had lots of people throughout the United States working with us to do it, and one was doing this state, another one was doing that state and another state, and, you know, we did a couple of states up here, and we were all over in every county. I mean, we'd do three or four counties at a time. We'd find a central location where four counties meet, maybe, and have three or four counties come in, and even more than that, because we still invited other people from other counties. And
I'm handling Travis and Williamson County as well, and Brewster County here. Also, I've contacted Hillsborough County and Dade, because I'm from Florida, which me and him agree, which we're working together, Broward and Hillsborough and Dade and Brewster and Monroe as well, just way ahead of you.
We need people who will go out and do their county and even assist others. And we'll find those people, you know, who are interested in really getting their whole state going. Because I know that's what I'm interested in, getting my whole state going. I want to get every county in this state going.
Me too. I agree. Before you have to go. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry. What else you want to say?
No, that was it.
All right, wait, before you go. Okay, listen. Now, we discussed about the habeas I had going and how the judge was still procrastinating. And it's been up on the docket now about 4 months, and he had not done anything. And so now
Remember, you have to move your own case. You have to make the motion. Is there a motion before the court right now?
Wait, let me tell you what he just did. All right. I just looked on the docket because they think they slick. They just put it on the electronic docket and don't even mail things to me many times. I have to accidentally find it. All right. So here's what he did. He did the usual that they love to do, try to test me out. So he moved my name into the de facto realm. Put the case into de facto realm, and then made, put all capitals and all that, and then he made an order saying, order reference, and I sent you a copy, to magistrate judge for pretrial proceedings pursuant to 28 U.S.C. 636B and magistrate rules of the local rules of the Southern District of Florida. And above caption cause is referred to United States Magistrate Judge Jacqueline Becerra, I think it's pronounced, for ruling on all pretrial dispositive matters and for a report and recommendation on all dispositive matters ordered and adjudged that it is responsibility of the parties in this case to indicate the name of the magistrate judge on all motions and related papers referred by this order in this case caption any kind of name.
I don't even know what he's talking about, to be honest with you. If you're ready for trial, move the court for trial, but then you've got to get a jury, and that's where the tricky part's going to come in. If it's not in your pleadings, you can't bring it into your trial. This is key information.
I have exactly the wording, exactly how the wording is on your habeas corpus instructions. Remember, I'm not doing this in my own wording. Remember, I've been following your
habeas corpus. They got three days to respond, and the judge can go as long as 20, but that's it. That's the law.
Well, it's been 4 months.
Yeah, I know. Remember, they got to remind them of that. You got to remind them. You have 3 days to respond. And get a hearing going for this habeas corpus, and the maximum you can go is 20 days. It's written in the paperwork. If you followed our paperwork, it's all laid out there. That's what it was. And he's not responding. So what I would do, as soon as you get a problem in the court, you just have to do a Quorwanto. Again, I mentioned this last
couple of days. I just said. They just crossed in the – they happened to have crossed in the mail. That's what I just put. I just sent him one.
Because if he doesn't respond to Quorwanto with his bond and his oath and his financials and maybe some other things, there's a list of six or seven potentials depending on the level for the judges, those three particular. But if he doesn't respond, then you go up to the appellate. for that issue. Okay, you're not appealing nothing. You're going to their boss is what you're doing and saying, this guy's not obeying the law and he's not giving me the information and I'm demanding it to be put into the record. Quoanta lays all the information out that we've written. And you can alter that.
Do you think I still need to null and void this here de facto order?
I'm sorry.
Don't you think, though, I should respond and null and void this tricky de facto order? It's in the way he...
What exactly is the order? I didn't even there's so much information there, it doesn't say anything. I mean, what's the bottom line on that order?
The line is, number one, the style of that, if you look at it, he has taken it like they love to do, out of the style of action of the court of record into de facto. Statutory, you know, the way it's, you got my name.
I can't comment on it because I don't know the paper and I don't have time to really.
He has my name in all caps. He's talking about Rule 28. You know, then, well, that's what I'm saying. Don't you think I need to do a writ of error and null and void this?
Yeah, I'm not sure what Rule 28 is. What's Rule 28?
Well, as a magistrate rules and local rules of Southern District of Florida.
Okay, well, again, the argument has to be that we're under the rules of common law. Again, that becomes an argument now. You're not in a court of record. All of that is one challenge that you have to take to the court. But again, they're going to go through their rigmarole and they're going to do what they want to do and you got to figure a way to get around it. But again, I think the Quoanto court solves a lot of problems because now you all of a sudden you're changing the direction of that man's mind or woman, whatever. You're changing the direction of that person's mind because now they're saying, you'll see right in the paper, it's the law. They got to, once you ask for it, they got to give it. You're demanding it, they got to give it. And they know what it means. Yeah. They know that they're in trouble now.
I recently just filed it. It should be there in a couple of days.
Since you've done that, everything stops at this point until that paperwork is in the game. So now that's your focus at this point. There's nothing else that you need to think about or should think about except for that. And if they ignore it, you got to immediately move it up. You've given them 10 days to respond given the oath and the bond information and get it into the record. Mm-hmm. If they don't do that, you need to immediately go to the appellate court, and you're there for them to enforce the law.
Okay. All right, so just don't hear this thing.
Disobeying the law, and I'm here for enforcement.
Okay, so just ignore this one then, this de facto order?
Because everything's got to stop now if you've done a Quoanto. Now they've got to address that. They're gonna ignore it and hopefully breeze it away. That's where you got it. It's up to you to make the movement. Count the days. Give them a couple extra days, though. I go 10 days, give them 12 or 13, you know?
Yeah, I put a calendar days.
Yeah.
It would be business days, rather.
Well, the court's open 24/7, so that's okay.
Right. Okay. So, but you still don't want me to submit anything further on your instructions to your grand jury mandamus or anything? No.
Well, we're still organizing everything, getting everything together for making our move in the court, which is going to be, I think, a real powerful move. I'm not sure. There's a couple of ways we may go on this. I'm not sure which way I'm going to begin with it. I know that where we want to be and what we want to do is the ultimate of many things, but. How we're going to push forward first and get the bonding issues with all these judges first and foremost. Okay. I'm not sure exactly which direction to go because I've got a couple options. So I have to work.
One more thing.
We're still gathering information. We got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of papers. Okay.
Gotcha.
And this is a lot of work, you know.
Right. Now, one more thing. I told you some time back, I think probably maybe in our private conversation, I come from a family of educators, I told you. And when you mentioned education, I told you. Mm-hmm. All right. My mother, she came up in the strictest of schooling where they did not play, all right, way back in the day in the 1920s. And so I'm interested, you know, especially that as part of what I talk about the with the COS and the Committee of Safety.
Are you interested on that educational part of the process, putting together curriculum?
Yeah, I worked for the school board of Florida.
I know you got your basic information, but just send anyway your name, your first name, and your phone number, and put in that you're interested in on the educational part, you know, and then we're going to
I'm talking about the people in the headquarters of the school board. They're so retarded, they can't even write a decent report.
It shows in the way they're teaching our children. I mean, it shows.
The state different in the way the strictness and the adults and what they come out to do. And then they, you know, they will, because if you, they feel threatened, if you understand things and you try to help, you know, rather than to be grateful, they'll threaten your job. And I have my job threatened, all right, because they don't know how to write a decent report. All right, and they don't want to oust you out because you try to tell them and help in a humble way and help them or correct their ignorance in how they write. You understand? And I came from one of the top schools in the country at that time in the Newington school system. All right, in a suburban school system where I was shipped out with among several blacks in a special program in order to get a better education, and that was very difficult. All right, but I'm glad I was forced out there, okay? So I'm saying, and that's one of the worst school systems in the country, in Florida, all right?
I don't want to spend too much more time on it, but because we have other people in the queue, and we didn't get to hardly anything.
They're not even know how to read.
Yeah, I know. It's really bad. We just played that video. It just shows you how bad it is. Well, look at it. If you're interested in this,
I'm saying, because I come from a family of educators, I'm always interested. But remember, I told you, you have to go to the school board.
If you're interested in working with us on this curriculum, just send the email to me and anyone else that's listening right now, especially educators. But you don't have to be an educator. Most of the work we're looking for people to do is to take a book chapter by chapter, go through each chapter, and give us questions on that chapter that focuses in on the main points of that chapter so that we can create a textbook out of these books, okay? So we have three or four books that we need that kind of work done. I'm working on the Federalist Papers, the Anti-Federalist Papers, and Government by Consent. Brent's going to be working on the Common Law books, and probably him and I together are probably working on Christianity, because Christianity is who we are. We are a Christian nation, and we have to get that back. The schools. The Bible used to be in our schools. They've taken it out. And they had a catechism, so to speak. I don't know, not necessarily a catechism. I don't think that's a good word for it. But basically, we need to know the history of Israel. We have to understand how they came to be as a nation and who they are and how we've inherited that through Israel. And America has copied that republic, because that's what they were. They were a republic. Okay? And we
I'm trying to tell you, remember I said, you have to go to the school board. Is the only way you're going to affect the change.
Make a plan on that. No, we understand that. I don't want to get into those details now. And we need people with the knowledge of what you're talking about now, particularly because I don't have much knowledge in the structure. But look, it all starts ultimately with going to the schools themselves and, like you say, the board, and demand a proper education. And we will require, you know, look, it's up to people require it and pressure it, and they take control of the committees of safety and control all of their elected officials, they're going to have the power and the clout to be able to do what has to be done. And we have to get rid of all this communist stuff being taught in our schools. But anyway, I don't want to get too deep in the conversation with that. We do have more people on the line. But if you want to, and let me just put this out, just not to you, but anybody listening right now, anybody who wants to assist us in turning these books into textbooks, we're going to have a meeting and have a discussion on the whole plan of what we're looking to do, and we'll call you to the meeting if you want to participate with us and then assist us in really creating the questions at the end of chapters. That's what we're looking for.
Well, when I was in nursing school, that's what they do. They take the textbook and they turn all the chapters into questions.
Yeah, and that's what we want to do. So we want to put together a real good curriculum, offer that up to all of the committees of safety that have the committees of education going out to do their work, mm-hmm. and strongly suggest that they use the curriculum. Because now we're going to give them a real education, a proper education. Just think about it. You know, when the kids go to school, by the time they get into the upper school, let's say, you know, 10th grade or so, they should be working on the Federalist. Yeah. And if they've worked on the, and they've got everything they need already done at that point prior to that. But when they get into the Federalist Papers, now they're going to understand that Constitution completely, how it works and what things mean. Because that's what the Federalist Papers do. It explains and interprets the meaning of what they discussed. It's the discussion that created our Constitution. That and the anti-Federalist.
Well, yeah, I know many of the books. Let me just give you a hint. Henceforth, from now on, you write books. I'll tell you this. Many of the questions, not all of them now, but many of them, they put in the back of the book.
That's what I think we're going to do with some of them. I'm not sure. For instance, I'm not sure how we're going to work this out, but it could be in the back of the book or it could be the end of each chapter. When I went to school, it was at the end of each chapter. But we'll see what we'll do. We're not sure yet on that.
Somewhere at the end of the book. But not all of them. They know people will cheat and just look at the end of the book. So if they don't put all questions, just enough to see if you went through it.
Hold on. I don't think we want to spend the time tonight getting too deep here. Yeah. We're going to be. That's what it's going to be. We could talk for hours on this.
Yeah, you can have a committee do it. I mean,
so let's do that. When we call you up, just send your first name and your phone number. Say you're interested in working on the education committee here with National Liberty Alliance. And when we're ready, which hopefully it'll be in the next 2 weeks or so, we'll give everyone a call. Yeah. We'll let everybody know, okay, we're going to be meeting certain times, and we'll meet in this room here, we'll record it, and it'll be for the sole purpose of trying to put together a good, solid curriculum and a plan. And we'll hammer it out. It may take a couple hours.
The plan I have is called a book, which is called a book review, which it forces retention.
Okay, let's talk about it then, okay? I got to go to the next caller, all right?
Well, who do you want me to send my name and number to?
Just put it to mail, M-A-I-L, at National Liberty Alliance. And in the subject line, do you want to put something about education committee or something, interested in the education committee. And that'll flag it. When I see it, I'll pull that out, and I'll start collecting the names. And hopefully we'll get other people working with us. We need at least three or four more people, and even more if possible. Maybe a couple people could work on a book in opposed to one person working on a book. But I'll tell you what, when you go through the book and you create the questions, you're going to get a great education because, you know, the teacher always gets the best education. Anyway,
all right.
Thank you.
Okay, then.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to take our next question here, and it is, let's see, who's next on the line here?
Miami, Florida.
It's already open. Miami, Florida, yep. First name from Miami.
Linda.
Linda.
Can somebody hear me?
Okay.
We can hear you.
Oh, great. Good evening, everyone. I have a question, and that'll be, we have a very bad situation here in Miami-Dade, like really bad. In a court system, in a law enforcement, so-called, we don't even have elected sheriff, and that's pretty much like a cause problem for everything. So is there any options, any suggestions?
You don't have a sheriff? You don't have a sheriff in your county?
Nope. We have elected director of Department of Law Enforcement.
Okay. Is there any other county that doesn't have a sheriff?
Nope. Miami is the only county in the whole United States who doesn't have a proper elected sheriff.
Well, no, it's not the only one. New York City is the same way. Westchester County here is the same way. Eight counties in Connecticut, yeah. We got a lot of – we're going to be working on that problem. And if you're, you know, we got a lot of work, but not enough people helping. So anybody that wants the help, we got to do research. We're going to work on sheriffs and go after all of the different counties throughout the whole United States, take it into the federal court, and require them to reinstate the election of a sheriff, because that's the law. And so we're going to work on that problem.
And I think all that's going to happen anyway, John. I think it's in the works. Taking the cabal down, they understand that the power of the sheriff. So I think.
Yeah, but I the counties that don't have one, I don't think there's a plan out there to do anything. Look at this. Probably all together, I'm going to take a guess, maybe 15 or 20 counties in the entire United States that don't have a sheriff. Okay? But there are sheriffs that have been, you know, their power has been taken from them.
Once they get done arresting all the subversives and unconstitutionalists, you'll be able to go in that county and say, I'm running for sheriff, and put your thing in, and they won't have no choice.
Mm.
You just got to get somebody to do it, that's all.
Right, well, we're still going to, it's an issue to be brought into the federal court. We definitely, yeah, is part of our plan anyway, and there's numerous issues that we're going to be taking in. They're going to be hardcore issues. It's going to really be knockout punches on the United States Supreme Court. They're going to have to act.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I have experienced the level of nonchalant, blatant corruption, and that will be unfathomable if I would not have my first-hand knowledge to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Starting from the judges who ignore and laugh about maxims of law, like, mm-hmm, literally, and then claiming that, you know, I forward him notorious presentment, so I did not appear on that hearing because he had enough time, you know, to answer to certain questions and establish jurisdiction and all these kind of necessary things. And there was the watcher, and the watcher contacted me, and he actually even recorded what happened there. And the judge went that rogue that he even said to the attorney on the other party, well, the person who was suing was a really big guy. I presume a big guy in all these Jesuit parts and all these kind of things. But what he said to the sheriff, because he didn't know that the guy is, like, you know, he thought he was just watching and he couldn't hear, he said, be more violent to those people. When you tell the sheriff to evict, be more violent.
Mm.
Because it looks like they have a cuckoo, yeah? Now, I'm very, I'm not a very big talker, but I'm a pretty good keyboard gangster, and I have invested a lot of time to read the Constitution, laws, and including your books,
mm-hmm,
which were a very, very awesome, I'll say, base for comprehend everything that's going on, like. So
we've put some new tools in our quiver, and those are.
I'm following. I'm about to.
Those being the oaths, the bonds, and the financial statements. Most of them guys, the more evil they are, the less they'll have that, and that's the end of them. The minute you ask for that and they don't give it to you, they're done. They're done.
Yeah,
short track.
Well, could you guide me in this, because I have asked them oath of offices, I have asked them bonds.
Well, there's
the
a process.
Documents.
There.
I even made a proper contract. I made a
private
contract.
Well, you give them so many days to answer, and when they don't answer, then that means they agree to everything. So it's there's a process that we're going to teach everybody how to go about that. And
well,
you could go in. Look, you could take somebody in there, and you could swear a new person in. They could take their office right there on the spot. No election.
Here's the problem. One is going to be the same like the other one, if not worse. They all are corrupted.
No. You put your own person in. You understand? You go there with a person that wants to run and fill that position. You can't let them do it. You do it. And you don't do it alone. You go in with 4, 5, 10, 20 people, whatever you can muster up.
Well, these are Zoom calls. So far, we had only Zoom calls. And the interesting part is, like, there was this case, and they kind of railroaded me. They opened a case.
You're not going to take control over a Zoom call, because they have the control. That's the problem.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Everything here is like horrible.
Yeah, you got to end up going over there one day and just sabotage them and show up and do the deal. Once you send all the paperwork in and they don't answer and they default and you file your default, you just go in. It's an operation. People are doing it right now. So it's not that difficult. And as we get closer, well, what's going to happen is you're going to have more support up top. We never had any support on the top end from the federal government. You're going to start getting that now. Those judges are going to start ruling with the people. So this is going to get easier and easier as we go along. I think that's my, you know, unless we lose this war.
What we need is probably one proper leather chair. You know, that one from good old days. Then they will understand what's going on. Because, I opened a case in Third Appeals Court, right? And those judges were, like, playing this game, like, it's a long way to say, but I can tell you that they didn't care. They just want to get rid of me of some kind of, like, blank, plain, written paper without even a signature on it. And they thought, like, you know, they win. But I'm collecting all this information, obviously. I'm going forward. Now, the other level is I'm trying to contact DeSantis. He never comes back. None of his office is working. You call to this office, you wait like 40 minutes, 18 minutes, and then some young girl or boy pick up the phone. They have even no clue, no idea. What are you asking them? What are you talking about? Absolutely.
Yeah,
then I forward the documents to the Inspector General, Chief Inspector General. Guess what? I specifically say that I want to speak with Melinda Miguel. She's the Inspector General in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I have never heard anything back from her. I'm getting some papers, like completely randomly, you know, like a cherry picking, like answers in it, like that, just something,
yeah,
something about nothing.
They're giving you form letters. That's what
the
IRS does, the same thing. Listen, you don't need to go to those people. You don't need to go to the state guy because, first of all, they think they're above the law, which they are. They don't uphold the law, and they're very arrogant. Of course, they're getting a wake-up call now. But when you exercise that business with the oath and the bond and the financial statement, and they don't have it, I don't care what the state attorney general says or the who'd you go to, what's the other guy? I'm sorry. Secretary of State?
Yeah, we have Kurt Byrd. Yeah, he also doesn't care. I've been sending everyone because I always attack.
He's going to care soon. And the thing is you can pull the same thing with him because I'll bet you he doesn't have his paperwork in order either. But you don't need
him. Well, I receive all of their oaths of office. It took me 4 days. I think to get the oaths of offices of all these guys. And guess what? They all fake. They all quasi. There's nothing said there. Even that Melinda, she put like under penalty and perjury, and she put in a square box. Why would you put in a square box? Four corner rule, right? From 2007. I asked, like, this is not an updated version. It's like, do you have something, anything better?
No, they got it.
She has an oath of honor.
That means that,
no.
If it's not current, it's not there, and they can't go back and fix it. It's every time they get reelected or they start a new, or they get reappointed or whatever, they have to redo that oath every time.
They are afraid of me. I can tell you that because
of course they're afraid because they know they're doing the wrong thing, and you're calling their
wrong?
Them. They're doing the wrong thing, and you're calling them out. The trouble is, you know,
they protect each other. This is like a pit. They have compromised information.
That's why you're
like,
good. That's why
probably,
you need to start a committee of safety. You need to go in with a group of people. They don't care about you coming in alone, but if you went in there with 4 or 5 or 10 or even 20 people, they would forget about it. They would have a baby because they can't deal with that because it's a movement. And now is the time to do that. That's why we're pushing committees of safety. Because, look, you're putting yourself in danger going there alone and rattling the cage because they get
I'm not afraid of everything.
I know you're not, but the thing is that doesn't stop them from a car all of a sudden jumping the sidewalk and hitting you because you won't even know it's them. Nobody will even know they did it because that's how they operate. Or they'll poison you. Yeah, I understand that we put the armor of God on and all that. That doesn't mean that you can't fall for the cause. That doesn't mean that God's going to give you superpowers, and He does.
I'm not talking about the God. Sorry.
Okay. Well, whatever your protection is, whatever your higher power is, I'm just telling you that it doesn't mean that you won't. You know, that they won't penetrate it or that they can't. And if they can't, well, then more power to you. Go start swinging that bat harder if that's the case, you know.
I will. You know what? All I need is a constitutional sheriff right by my side.
Yeah, and that takes a lot of fortitude, though. A lot of these sheriffs don't want to put themselves out there because they do what they did to Trump. They start threatening their family and this and that. Look at Ron Paul. He poisoned his wife. This is what we're dealing with. And, I mean, it's going to be harder for them to do that now as we go through this new paradigm, this new revolution that's coming because everybody's waking up. But, you know, it takes a sheriff that's really, really...
And that's all we need. We don't need this like a police officer's IRS agents.
No, that's right.
We need constitutional sheriffs. That's all we need.
And
he has to have
the fortitude to stand up to them. And so then what he needs to do is he needs an association of sheriffs because look at no man is an island. No man is an island. When you got a group of people, then they can't sneak up behind you. You have somebody who always has your six, your back. You know what I mean? And that's what's important. Look, this is a war, and you've got to do war strategy. You know, I mean,
I know what you're talking.
You know, I mean, look at the guys in Vietnam. They used to go in the foxholes back to back because they had the Viet Cong sneak in at night and slit their throat, and so they would sleep back to back so nobody could sneak up on them. You know, and they called themselves butt buddies because they slept with their butts together. You know, it was that type of thing. So, you know, it's no different where what you're doing. I mean, it's maybe not under those conditions, but in a certain sense, it's worse because, you know, it'll come out of nowhere because that's the way they operate. So, you know, as we go through each county and each town and they start suffering the death of 1,000 cuts, it will get easier. Trust me, it will. And maybe more people will step up to the plate. But, you know, it's a tall order for a sheriff to go in there and stand up to these people because first thing they tell you, oh, we're going to cut your budget, oh, this, oh, that. They got a lot of ways to play with that sheriff, believe me, you know. And they got them believing that they can fire them, too, that they're in the executive branch.
Yeah, that's why they don't need to go and be part of any sort of association because that is the trap. That is a job for every single one out there. Doctors, vets, everyone.
Well,
they are under this big corporate umbrella.
Well, the death toll is the insurance. They control them through the insurance, and they tell them if you don't do this and that, then the insurance company won't cover you, and if you're not covered under the insurance, then you can't work for us. They got
a lot of
evil methods. What's that?
$2,000. His insurance is $2,000. What am I going to do with those $2,000? He barely can cover my paperwork.
No, oh, you mean that's what the amount is? Oh, it doesn't matter because then you once you penetrate him, you also penetrate the town there, the municipality, you know.
And
it doesn't matter what his insurance is. Does he own a house? Did he put a financial statement in? You can go after
most
all
likely,
that stuff.
No. Everything is on credit. That's not theirs.
Well, I don't know. You'd have to see. I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't believe every sheriff has everything on credit. I mean, and if they do, then that's a conspiracy. You know. So I don't know.
Well, today I heard the guy was talking from the military. He was in Iran for 4 years, and he has like solid evidence in his like statements. He can vouch for that. You know, once you pass the level E, he says something like E1, E2, E3, and then when you reach like E level 7 and 8, the guys are reading, you know, Mason books, you know, for initiation, da da da, and all the other guys have these M numbers on their files. They're all this military is controlled. He said, I can't say, it's controlled by Masons, right? He said, I can't say about the others, like, you know, Marines, whatever you have there.
Mm-hmm.
But most likely it's the same thing.
Well, you're going to see more and more of this stuff come out, and so it's going to be easier for you. You have to kind of roll with the punches, but there's going to be a lot of stuff coming out between now and November. And so the whole lay of the land is going to change. So if you're doing war right now, you need to step back and you need to reassess the battlefield. You need to let some of this stuff mature and come in, because there's no sense in beating your head against the wall when that obstacle may be going to be gone in a couple months. You know what I mean? All this information is going to come out right now. You're going to see the nation's going to go through a shock wave. They're going to be suffering from the gravity and the, you know, they're going to have cognitive dissonance. They're not going to believe it. And it's going to
take a while. And how are we going to break those broken ones in our society? I am a kind person, but I'm also realistic, because at the time when I was in the school in part of the Russia, we were playing chess. And our little boys were learning how to build the houses, right? While mm-hmm. here in America, they teach bringing the children to the gay club. There is a difference. I have beaten my first case. I have beat that so-called super attorney, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Super attorney, they call themselves. With every single thing she say, because I read all those books. I study all those books, all those procedures, this and that, you know, judicial procedures. What for? I study the federal court rules. I know all United States codes, CFRs, and many other things. I have a lot of books. I have a lot of encyclopedia dictionaries and things. So they were blown away. She was like shaking when she was speaking to me. And yes, she's saying, well, it's hard to read. What was the point? And all these kind of things. Because, you know, they might sense that I have this accent.
Right.
And I sincerely, yeah, not a big talker. I do everything on my paper. My paper works for me.
That's
I'm
right.
a living woman.
Yes.
I'm a living woman. I'm not stepping there in as a corporation. I'm not part of them.
We got to go. I got a lot of other people in here, and we've been long.
Right,
time.
Right. So
I
any suggestions where to get a constitutional sheriff, or just wait?
No, you can, if you can get somebody to run, they don't need law enforcement. They need to know the Constitution. You should encourage them to take our test. They should go through the NLA test, the Constitution course, the civics course. If a sheriff runs through that, or they read the book Government by Consent, and it has in there the duties and the powers of the sheriff, that's all he needs. That's all he needs, and that's good enough. And we've sent those books to every, you know, they're going to every sheriff's office, or you can buy one yourself and have it. And then when you have somebody that wants to run, you say, look, you need to get this book. You need to study this. If he wants to do it, he'll do it. I mean, we had a congressman that actually read the books and came back, and we tested him, and he couldn't answer half of the questions we gave him when we were committee men. We were wadding him, you know, to carry his petitions. And we said, we're not going to carry your petitions until you can answer these questions. I'll tell you what, 2 months later, he came back, and he nailed it. He like crammed for it. So that was encouraging. I mean, he claimed to be, you know, a conservative and this and that. But he didn't even know what the Constitution really, really was all about until we schooled him in it and said, you need to read this and you need to read that. We gave him the material, and, you know, he was a West Point graduate, so he was military. He was some kind of a colonel or something, and he did win the congressman, and we helped get him in there. So you can do it. It can happen, and it's probably going to be even easier now as things get worse, because people's eyes are opened up, and you're going to have more people. If you get a good guy up there that's constitutional, you'll get him elected, because people are fed up with all this other stuff. All he's got to do is go out there and proclaim it, and he'll win, you know?
Well, definitely what is put right here. They're changing these directors, so-called sheriff's directors, something they law enforcement every 3 months. Is that normal?
No, that's
every
ridiculous.
3 months they're changing here. This is Miami.
What are they? I don't know. That's ridiculous. That should be against the law too, because you don't even get
and
your
I call,
feet under.
And
you
a quick
in 3 months.
One. I called today to the Florida Supreme Court, right? To the office of marshals, right? And as it clearly states on that marshal's website, the marshal is also responsible for ensuring the execution of all the court orders throughout the state, right? And my question was, can you please tell me which courts in Florida specifically, like, you know, preferably Miami-Dade, are Article III courts? And he starts stumbling. He starts stumbling, well, what is Article III courts? It's like,
come along jurisdiction. He didn't even know, right?
Of course, he said to me, and listen to this one. He said to me, it's a common law jurisdiction court, you know, who can handle the matters over the natural person, you know, inequitable, you know, redress, equitable remedy and all these kind of things. And he's like, we don't have in Florida common law jurisdiction. I was like, what? He's like, we don't have in Florida common law jurisdiction. And then other stupid other things. And he is the marshal who executes Supreme Court orders. How about to think about that? And I asked him, do you have an oath of office, right? And he said to me, well, I'm certified. I was like, excuse me? Well, it's enough to be certified. You know, before I become marshal, I was the law enforcement, and then every law enforcement has to take, like, oath of office. I say, are you talking about oath of honor? Well, And then you do every four years you do recertification. So we are all certified law enforcement officers. And so and that is enough? Yeah, of course. This is the conversation with the deputy, with a captain. Captain Marshall, with a Marshall's office captain, Richardson, Florida Supreme Court. Here you go. Is anyone here?
Yeah, we're here. I don't know where Gerard and John are, but we were listening. Gerard, we lost your mic or you're muted. John, you still around? I thought I heard something.
Is that it?
Good. That's it. That's it.
Yeah, I don't know. I lost everything for a second. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, look, we gotta get going now. It was a good discussion, but we got some other questions on the marshal thing. I think they're appointed for life by the president. So that's, I don't know what happens with a marshal with his oath of office. You know, if you join the Marine Corps or the Army, you take an oath of office, that doesn't go away. That I believe that serves you the whole time you're in. Now, maybe they do a refresher, but I don't think it's necessary. Every person that was in the service will tell you they're still under their oath. So, I mean, unless it's an elected position, see, every time you get elected, then you have to take that oath of office. But if you're a marshal, or you're in the service and you're performing those duties and you take your oath, that's a for life oath. It doesn't need to be renewed every year. So that marshal doesn't have to renew. I mean, you go, oh, we got a certification. Yeah, that's something that they give him because that's what the insurance company wants. Anyway, that's what I wanted to say. We got to get going. It's after 11 o'clock, and I'm sorry you guys that got stuck in the queue that I couldn't get to you. We have to work on keeping people's comments down more, because we're leaving too many people out here hanging. It's not fair. So anyway, I'm going to say good night. Thank you, everybody, for coming and participating. And we'll be back next week. And get your government by consent and your common law in the courts book and let's get going. There's a lot of resources in there, and you know, you asked a lot of the questions that were asked tonight. The answers are in there, you know, and so get familiar with that. Anyway, with that, I'm going to say goodnight and God bless, and God bless our president and our real president and everybody. I got it. Okay. Somebody's calling me too, huh?